Well, I'm thankful our pastor's not here tonight because I'm going to preach from 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to look at it a little bit different perspective. Not to do violence to the Scripture in any way, shape, or form, I can assure you that. But you know, we do live in an educated society. We do that. And many of the people we come in contact with each week are not only well-educated, some of them have some sense. And yet their spiritual views, their life values, are totally opposite of ours. That does not make them dumb. It does not make them foolish. Well, it does make them foolish. But what they have is blinded eyes and lack of knowledge of the things of God. God never put a premium on stupidity. He never did. And I don't think He does today. I think He wants us to prepare ourselves to be ready and as knowledgeable as we can be, yet I don't think we have to have a PhD in theology before we can begin to serve God. And if there is a case in point for not being ready but still being willing, it's David and Goliath. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. In verse 29 of 1 Samuel chapter 17... is the cry, the theme of the message tonight. Verse 29, David says very simply, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And tonight, my challenge to us as a church is, isn't there a cause? Do we not have a purpose for being here? Is there not a reason that Berean Baptist Church exists more than just to have fellowship and entertainment? Folks, if that's what we're here for, count me out. This evening I want to look at this familiar account of David and Goliath and see if we can find new confidence in the hand of God. You see, the enemy had moved into God's territory. In chapter 17, verse 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochath, which belongeth to Judah." The Philistines had moved in to God's territory. And tonight, if there's ever been a time when the enemy was making inroads into God's territory, it's today. He does it by causing us to blend in a smile, let's get along sort of inclusive mentality, from that to outright confrontation. Moving in. "You don't own this place anymore." Let me tell you what. America was founded upon Christian, I didn't say even Judeo-Christian, on Christian values, and God expects us to hold those forth.
Amen.
And whenever we're challenged, when it's questioned, the devil's moving in on God's territory. He just is. The enemy is in God's territory, and the enemy in God's territory was scary. He was scary. Notice there in verse 4. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." That's 9 feet 9 inches. We were talking about height of our daughters yesterday, and Elaine was 5'13". She chose not to be 6 feet tall, my daughter. That's fairly tall for a girl. but she would have been dwarfed by Goliath. Goliath would not have been able to get through our 6-8 doors without bending almost double. He's 3 feet taller than the doors. Big boy. And not only was he tall, he was well proportioned. When you read about his spear and so forth. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So not only was he big and mean and tough and well armed, he had help. Don't know about you, but it would scare me. And he issued a challenge. The enemy was in God's territory. He was scary. And by the way, he was a liar. And do you understand, church, that we cannot compete on the world's level with the world? People will lie. They are not hindered by the scruples that God puts in the heart of His children. You can't out ugly ugly. You can't out mean mean and still be a child of God. Just can't do it. You see, what Goliath said was, "You come fight with me, and if you win, we'll be your servants." That wasn't so. They had no intention of being God's servants. As a matter of fact, we'll see in the story that they do lose. Goliath does lose. And what happens? They go to running and a fighting. They had no intention of honoring the oath that they made. And too often in this world, we succumb to the promises and the coaxing of this world that is contrary to the Word of God, when in fact, instead of advancing the Word of God, we give them quarter and say, "Well, it'll be all right. Let's just all live and let live." Folks, we are soldiers of the cross. And our job is to spread forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not mean, not ugly, but diligently and militantly. We are soldiers of the cross. Verse 8 there, if you didn't read it. "And he stood and cried with the armies of Israel and said unto them, 'Why are you come out set your battle? Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come out to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us.'" Number one, if he lost, he wasn't going to serve anybody because he's going to be dead. His promise made no sense. But it sure scared the children of Israel. It really did. And oftentimes, we as children of God, the devil scares us. The world scares us. The world situation scares us. This isn't a new thing. I remember as a young person. Yeah, I can remember way back when I was a young person. And just starting out life as a young married person. I had trouble using man in retrospect. But anyway, one of the questions I had is, should we have children? In the world, the messed up world we were living in, should we have children? Well, I asked the wrong person because I asked my mother-in-law. And if you know my mother-in-law, the mother of 9 children, she believed in it. And like she said, we can either give this world to the devil and his crowd, or we can raise up godly children for the Lord's honor and glory. And it was 60 years ago, it was scary. And as I watch young people starting their families today, it's scary today. Because we are facing an enemy. And sometimes we feel really ill prepared, don't we? Don't really know hardly what to do. And it made the children of Israel afraid. When Saul, verse 11 says, "And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." See, that's nothing new to our age. If I hear, during these trying times, one more time, I may regurgitate. We face some obstacles the last couple of years, and it's been tough the last couple of years. But guess what? The couple of years before that wasn't no cakewalk. And we do have obstacles to face, and we do have challenges in our life. And guess what? We're going to have them next year too. And until the Lord comes back and takes us out of here, we will face challenges. And we need to learn to trust God and not be crybabies. We can get afraid. I know people who I thought were stronger Christians than they were, who has let the situations of the last couple of years completely destroy their spiritual lives. They don't go outside anymore. They don't go to church anymore. And they certainly don't serve God anymore. Now, being honest, I've washed my hands more in the last 2 years than I probably did 10 before. In my truck, I've got a big boy truck. I've got an F-250 Super Duty full-wheel drive diesel truck with a little place in it with hand sanitizer that I use constantly because that's what the times warrant. Trying to be sensible, but not afraid. And here, David needed some of that. He needed some sensibility about him, but he didn't wait. He didn't back off. He didn't go hide until he says, "Boy, when I get big, I'm going to serve God. When I get big, I'm going to stand against the devil." No, today was the day for David. Today is the day for you and I. God needs us to serve Him today. You see, the children of Israel had presented themselves to Saul, the king, to fight. And as he looked over those who presented themselves, he chose some and he sent back some. He accepted David's 3 big brothers and sent David home. "Well, boy, maybe next year. Go ahead and put a few pounds on, kid." I don't know what he said to him. But all I know is his 3 brothers were in the battle and he was keeping his father's sheep. But while he was keeping his father's sheep, he was keeping, first of all, his obligation to God. He put God first in his life and took serious the opportunities and the responsibilities God gave him. while he was out there keeping those few sheep, as his big brother referred to them as, along came a bear. Now, I don't know about you, but me and bears, I give them space. And if the opportunity arose, what's a little lamb or two? Well, here's what's the problem with that. They were David's lambs, and it was his responsibility to care for them, so he got him by the beard and wrung his neck. And a lion came along, and the same thing happened. See, we may not be appreciated by others. We may not be understood by others. We may not have the appearance that others expect us to have, but we can still please God if we're right in our hearts. Amen. And if we're seeking ways to advance the cause of Christ. If you've been saved any length of time, you should know how you got saved, why you're saved, and know in the Bible where you can show someone else how you got saved. You don't have to be a theologian. Well, preacher, what if they ask you hard questions? You'll know the answer the next time it's asked. I was led to the Lord by a guy who didn't know how to find Romans 3:10 in the Bible. He had a little Gideon New Testament, and it was my brother Gary. And he had in the front of it, page 287. And he turned there and he read some verses. Then he didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Rome. He didn't know. He was a baby Christian, brand new saved. And he knew, if he knew anything, he knew his brother Melvin really needed to get saved. So he pinned me down. He got me going to church, got me under conviction, and then he pinned me down and said, Melvin, are you saved? Guess what? That works. That works. I remember the first time I tried witnessing to my father, who wasn't saved. We were at some people's house, and on the coffee table there, they had one of them huge family Bibles that no one ever hardly reads, but it looks really religious laying on the coffee table, you know. And some of the folks were in the other room playing music. That's what we did for entertainment. I listened. I didn't play. But some of them were. And they started playing gospel music, which was unusual for that crowd. And Dad and the lady who owned the house was there, and he says, yeah, they say that to go to heaven, all you got to do is trust Jesus to take your sins away. It can't be that simple. Well, she was of the Pentecostal persuasion. She said, no, it can't be. I said, but Dad, it is. And I took that big old Bible, and all I could think of was John 3:16. So I read them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, there it is! And he said, if that's all there is to it, what's the rest of that for? Well, let me tell you what it's for. I know now, I didn't then. It serves two purposes. Number one, so that you'll believe that. And number two, so that we can be fully persuaded that God is able to keep those promises He makes to us. That's what it's for. But I didn't know the answer then. Know the answer now. We don't need all the answer to be able to answer all the questions to please God. We just don't need, but we should be working on it. We should be working on it. You see, the children of Israel had presented themselves to battle, but they were spiritually defeated. Notice verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man being Goliath, he was the man. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now, they said, what use is that? David said, wow, what an opportunity. Now, here was this kid. We know we're all fairly familiar with this portion of Scripture. He wasn't big enough to wear armor. He wasn't proven in the armament of warfare. But he had faith in God. They were whipped. They were defeated. They said, what use is it for us to even be here? We just as well put on the shackles and start serving the Philistines. And David said, is there not a cause? Why am I not serving God? Why am I not in God's army? Why am I not ready to meet the battle? Are we defeated, folks? Have we surrendered to the devil? Or is there a cause for us tonight to stand for God? Now, when he began to air his attitude, everyone said, oh, good job, David. We're for you, buddy. Come on, let's go. I'll go with you. Is that what they did? They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They put him down. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother. Now, I had an older brother, and if there's anything I wanted from my older brother, it was his approval. It's natural. You want your big brother's approval. And you don't want his ridicule. Now, like David, I got more ridicule than approval. But that's what I deserve too, by the way. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. What battle? The battle was you hiding behind each other in the ditch, scared that Goliath would see you. Wasn't no battle to speak of. But he stood against his brother. And let me tell you something. It's hard when your family ridicules you to stay true to God. It just is. But you know what? They take note of it. When Eliab began to ridicule him, verse 29, and David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason to stand for God? This guy is defying the armies of Israel, the army of God. He's against God. I'm for God. We have a problem. And I can't let that go. Don't need to let it go. Shouldn't be letting it go. Folks, you and I have some enemies we're facing today who just say, listen, don't be so negative and so mean-spirited, that's one of their favorite words. I'm not mean-spirited, but some things are right and some things are wrong. Right? Deviating from it? Wrong. Pretty simple, isn't it? But not according to the world. Boys are born boys. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You might offend somebody. Girls are born girls. I'm thankful for girls. I never understood why God made us guys. Well, I do understand. We are a necessary evil, girls. Just put up with us. But isn't it wonderful the way God made us? It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. It's a natural thing. And when man begins to question it, that's called being deviates. Deviates. Oh, you shouldn't say things like that. Well, somebody needs to. Would you hate if someone is made that away? Number one, they're not made that away. We are not to give ourselves over to concupiscence. What's that, preacher? That's when we focus our entire lives on sex of any kind. Whether it's what we would call normal sex or deviant sex. It's wrong to give ourselves over to that. God wants us to possess our vessels in a way that honors and glorifies Him. Amen. All sex outside of marriage is wrong. Amen. And if you give yourself over to it, you're wrong. And that's just one of the things that we're facing today. And you know, our minds are being so bombarded and so trained that people will be offended. I'm talking about God's people can get offended when you start talking like this. We have a problem, folks, and it's the devil has moved into our territory. We've presented ourselves to the king to fight. But we've got afraid and we're hiding in the trenches instead of being on the battlefront. And too often we're already defeated. He had to first stand against Eliab, but then he had to stand against others too. Verse 30, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. They shot him down just like his big brother did. And he kept talking. And he kept pushing the situation. And if you do that, you better be careful because just like David, you may get the opportunity to put up or shut up. Because that's what happened to David. They said, you think you can handle it? Let's see you go, big boy. Let's see you go. Let's put you on the front line and see how you react to that. Verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Now, it's one thing to talk big in front of your big brother. It's quite another thing to talk big in front of the king. So what did he do? He says, yes, sir, I said that. No, sir, I'm sorry, sir. I'll be quiet, sir. No, that's not what he said at all. Verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I believe he's my lunch today. believe I can handle him. No, he didn't. He said, God can handle him. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David knew where his help came from. Let's skip down to verse 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. He said, look, I wasn't able to defeat the bear. Yeah, I've got a bearskin rug in my tent, but I wasn't able to do it. Hey, I may wear a lion paw necklace. Maybe he had it on his pouch. Tiger paws on the pouch where he carried his rocks. Something. God gave me those victories. And the same God who gave me those victories can give me this victory. Because I'm not able, but He is. I'm not prepared, but He is. I'm not smart enough, but He is. I'm not educated enough, but He is. I'm required to trust God if I'm going to do anything for God. Can't explain it as well as the Bible does. Verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Well, now, first of all, that's not the first time David's been disdained today. He's kind of getting used to this by now, I think. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. Peachy cheeks. Getting all excited and his little brow started sweating. He was a kid. But he was a man for God. And the Philistine came on, verse 41, the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly, and I don't think he said all this, I think he said, all this assembly, all you guys quaking in the bunkers, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And He did. And I will not tread on our pastor's territory here, how he cut his head off and the blood and all the gore. Brother Abel's much better at that than I am. I won't even try. But I do want you to notice one thing here. He didn't have a sword of his own. Verse 46, "And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." No sword, but God can deliver anyhow. Then God gave victory to the faithful who was not fully prepared, was willing to put himself forward. Verse 49, "And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Okay, now here's something I want you to notice, though. One of the favorite parts of this whole story to me is verse 49. "And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank unto his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth." Volunteer. Front row. Okay. Come on, quickly. Real simple. I sling a stone. I hit you right here. See which direction he went? Thank you. What I believe happened with all my heart, number one, he had 5 stones in his bag, didn't he? Okay? I don't think it was for Goliath and his 4 brothers. I think Goliath was enough for him to worry with right now. I think he probably slung it from a bit of a distance. I would have. Can I get range? Now, if we had someone here that could really chuck a baseball, and they stood right here and was as close as Malcolm was to me, they could rip my head off with it. And if he got back 4 or 5 rows, maybe with a good glove I could defend myself. But if he were at the back door, I could probably catch that ball. Wouldn't hurt me much. I believe there was some range to David when he slang that stone. And I keep saying that because I like the way the Bible worded it. And with all my heart, I believe as that stone approached Goliath, God reached up and slapped him in the back of the head. And his head went forward and that rock went in. And he landed on his nose. Because God was in. And God was doing the battle, and not David. God used David, but God was the one who did the fight. Amen. And folks, though David wasn't prepared fully, he was willing to be used. Amen. And though he didn't have all the knowledge of war, but he was willing to get in the war. And although he didn't have all the answers, he did have the faith that God, if He put him in the battle, could bring him through the battle. And tonight, I'm afraid too many of us, we've been saved a long time, or maybe you've just been saved a little while. You might know a lot about the Bible, or you may not know much at all about the Bible. God can use you if you will put yourself in a position to be used. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Go find somebody and tell them about Jesus. Just go find them. Well, but I wouldn't know what to say. Yeah, you would. If you love them, you do. I think it was Jack Hiles who used to, back when I was a young Christian, the door knocking thing was really, really, really emphasized. And he said, if you don't know what to say, just go knock on a door. Make a commitment to God to knock on 20 doors. And the first one, say, when they come to the door, say, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. Anyway, that nursery rhyme that I can't remember right now. He said, just say that and then turn and walk away. And by the time you get to the second door, you'll have something else to say. Well, let me tell you something. If you look at those around you, your brothers, your sisters, your sons, your daughters, your mother, your father, your co-workers, those you go to school with, and you look at them and you say, this is a precious soul that's going to hell if they don't hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they don't trust Him as eternal Savior, God will give you something to say. Not so that you can put a notch on your Bible cover, but so that you can have a brother or sister or son or daughter or friend or neighbor in heaven with you tomorrow. Are you ready to serve God? Well, what's the excuse that you can't serve God? It's certainly not because God's not able. So I'll say.